Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, February 17, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message this Sunday is Nurturing the Artist Within. The Old Testament reading today is Psalm 131, and the New Testament lesson is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 19.
Our New Testament lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. Listen to how God is speaking the word to you today. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? Please join me in a word of prayer. God, we come this day seeking your wisdom in our lives, your gentle nudge and push, that we might be shaped more and more into the part that you want us to become. Help us to hear your message to us today, and then to have the courage to live into what we hear. I pray that you would use my preparation and my words to convey forth your inspiration. In Jesus' name, amen. Kristen Neff tells this story on the TED stage. A woman went on her first date post-divorce. She picked out a nice but not too sexy outfit, met her date at an Italian restaurant with white tablecloths. They ordered wine and sat down to get to know one another a bit. And before the waitstaff had come back to take their dinner order, the man says, "I don't think this is going to work out," gets up from the table, and leaves. The woman goes home and talks to her friend. Her friend's response, "Well, what did you wear? Maybe that was the wrong outfit. How could you think you were ready to get back out there into the dating world? Well, yeah, you are kind of boring sometime. Maybe you are oozing desperation." Ouch! Who needs friends like that? You think we should just dump those friends like that? But those voices and criticisms didn't come from a friend she could dump, because that's what the woman went home and told herself. Kristen Neff goes on to say that the criticisms that we level at ourselves go beyond what we would tolerate to hear from anybody else, from any friends or any family. And I would say we especially do this with our gifts of creativity. We jump on ourselves so fast. "I can't be a writer. My spelling is poor. Oh, I tried to play piano once, but I was such a failure. Well, I try to write poems, but nobody is ever allowed to see them. They're awful. For who am I to pretend to be creative or pretend to be an artist?" I think this is because creativity and engaging in the creative process makes us really vulnerable. We're trying something new, something that hasn't been in the world before. And yes, our world is also easy to jump into those vulnerable places with criticism. Because perhaps there was a comment from that third grade teacher who managed to lean over the desk and go, that was a nice attempt at a horse. Or perhaps an adult steering you away from an activity. Oh, you're interested in guitar lessons? Really, everybody else is playing soccer. Let's go play soccer. Or perhaps an outright criticism of something that you loved. Oh, that garage band, that's just noise. That's not music. And even though when those individuals are not in our lives anymore, and perhaps the person who made that comment doesn't remember even what they said, that smush of our creativity still lives in our thoughts and crushes our souls so that we think our creative efforts are worthless. And by doing that, Robert Hilliker says that shame and that started as a two-person experience. But as I got older, I learned how to do it all to myself. This shame is at its core the fear of disconnection. Guilt is I did something bad. It's okay to feel guilty because we make mistakes and then you need to make that up to other people. But shame is that feeling at the base that I don't belong. I'm not worthy. There's no way I can ever be connected. Shame isn't a new concept. It's not a problem just in America or just in the 20th century, 21st century. It's part of the human condition. We all encounter it. And in fact, Paul talks about it in the scripture we opened today in 1 Corinthians. For he opened saying, we are the body of Christ. Notice Paul doesn't say we are trying to be the body of Christ or we're called to be the body of Christ. He's saying it as a state of being. We already are the body of Christ. And then when the hand says, oh, everybody else belongs here, but me, I'm the hand, I don't belong. And Paul goes on to say, but just because the hand says that, does it stop being part of the body? And it's that rhetorical device. Does it stop being part of the body? And you go, no. Like, that's silly. That's that shame message. No. I don't belong. But even that message of shame that says I don't belong does not actually disconnect the hand from the rest of the body. In fact, this whole passage is anti-shame because it is the reassurance that in God we do all belong, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, because we are all part of Christ Jesus and because we are already connected. There is a lot more research going on now about shame and the responses to it. Discovering this, the answer to shame is not to say it never happens, because it does, and not to erase it from our lives, because we will continue to hear, either through the voice of our own critics or most often the voice of our own self-criticism, to have those moments of deep pain and that disconnection. The creative response to this shame is to have some resilience, some buoyancy and springiness in ourselves, to ourselves, and with other people. Because shame happens in our interrelationships with one another. Therefore, the healing is going to happen in our interrelationships with one another. The good news is we actually already know how to do this. Why? Because I'm seeing us do this. We're really good at doing this with small children and toddlers. How often do we look at a child who just makes a mistake trying to stick the puzzle piece into the wooden puzzle, and they don't get it in the right spot, and you go, oh, that's okay, try again. We think that their curiosity and adventure is cute. We hover to watch young children discover and explore, and we encourage that exploration as long as they stay safe. But there's a lot of room to explore. With children, with young children, we know how to show up and encourage them. I wonder how many of you have had a child's picture drawing on the refrigerator. Not because it's a masterpiece of color and composition, but because of the child who drew it and drew it for you. How many of you, I wonder, have attended a sports event, not because you're going to see the pros, but to see a relative or a niece play? How many of you, I wonder, have received a handmade gift, perhaps made of clay or a baked cookie that was a little burnt on the edges and kind of irregular? Perhaps a beginner's knitting project or a woodworking project that you treasure more than anything that would have been store-bought or anything that is way more expensive. When we look at how we treat young children and their gifts, we know how to encourage their creativity. We do it by showing up. We do it for acknowledging the efforts. We do it by not expecting them to be exactly like their brother, their sister, the other grandchildren. We go, wow, you're unique, you're special, and you are making your mark in the world. We encourage them. The very word encourage has in the middle of it the word cœur, C-O-U-R. How's your French? Cœur is your heart. You are enheartening them. You are emboldening them in their creativity. We can do it with children. The challenge is to do it with grown-ups, starting with ourselves. For if you're like me and you have an inner critic that is really loud and takes any of those creative ideas and smooshes them flat, it does help to recognize that our inner artistic artist is indeed a child and like a child. And so to nurture the artist within, we need to treat our own inner creative soul like a toddler, and encourage that toddler to dance, to giggle, to play with Play-Doh, or pretend to be a dinosaur. We have that image from the psalm today. Did you catch it? It describes the human soul like a weaned child resting in God's arms. I'm not sure that's an image that we talk about a lot. Our soul as a little child. And a weaned child is not an infant, right? A weaned child, and in biblical times, would have been weaned until they would have been drinking milk until they were a little older. So they would have been at that toddler, head out and explore a little bit. But then when they need reassurance, could come right back to their mother's lap and know that they are safe. And I imagine, too, that the mother, like the mothers and grandparents and aunts and uncles that you are, there's that encouragement. Get up and try to take a few steps, and I'll be here when you fall and skin your knee. For indeed, all of us started as children and have a bit of that inner child inside who needs that encouragement, who needs heart from other people and other voices. We need those people who nurture and support our creative journeys, the people who, in this true sense of the word nurture, give us a sense of our own potential and competency, not shaping us into themselves, but asking us to become fully who God has created us to be. We need the people who come to the adult versions of our ballet recitals, who encourage us not because the work and the art is perfect, but because they love watching us play. I invite us now to spend some time remembering those people, those folks who have encouraged us along the way. You know who the critics are, but let us take some moment to remember those who have helped. So if you're comfortable doing so, I'd ask you just to pause so we could visualize a little bit. Take a deep breath. Imagine that your stresses are rolling off your head and down your shoulders and down your arms and falling away to the floor. I invite you to see in your mind's eye the people who have helped you create the life you live. We'll call the mentors, the teachers, friends, family, those in the past, and those who are the collaborators in your life now. Who are the people who have nurtured you, who have given you the sense of your own potential and competency? Could you have done your life without them? Of course not. And now I want you to recall friends and family and people around you who you see need some encouragement, who perhaps need your support to fight those critical voices that say, I don't belong. Take a moment to pray for them and imagine them like a child who needs a little TLC. Lastly, I invite you to imagine yourself as a little girl or a little boy bringing a gift of your creativity to God. Imagine that God's eyes light up. Imagine that God says, thank you. And that God looks at you and affirms you. I love watching you play. I love watching you create. Amen. This is a song I changed in our worship bulletin because the direction of my sermon changed. But it's a song that's titled, I Will Come to You in the Silence. And it's an opportunity to affirm that we all belong and that God comes to us always with love. I invite you, if you feel comfortable, to rise and let us sing together.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.